We will chop it up coming up at 7:40 as we take you inside the Star on the home of the Cowboys here with Sean and RJ, along with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. Bobby is going to sell off the Texas Rangers coming up at 8, even after a win yesterday to get even with Toronto. We got a little baby ticket giveaway coming up here during the expressway. What?
I caught that. That was very, I appreciate it. That was very subtle of you, but I appreciate it.
Do you think everyone did?
Nope. I think the right person probably understood it.
Okay. Wanye Thomas.
Peyton Rossell back there.
Wanye Thomas goes on social media and says, fun again. He tweeted that out a couple of days ago. Fun again. And you have other Cowboys with John Machota writing a piece for the New York Times talking about the C word. Now, we're going to get tired of this. I'm sure Choppy is already tired of this. I'm on the verge of getting tired of it right now. I'm still in my loving Brian Schottenheimer phase, but CeeDee Lamb said, you know, feels like it's about football again. Everyone's back in love with the game, but that's Wanye Thomas. Some people are trying to make this a shot, of course, towards Mike McCarthy and what just previously happened, but Machota takes us more inside what's happening new in Frisco.
Yep, and I will say also, when it's Wanye Thomas or somebody like that, who Wanye Thomas is always a very bright, optimistic guy, you got to remember, like, Wanye Thomas wasn't necessarily going to have a ton of interaction with McCarthy anyway. Yeah. McCarthy's going to be on the offensive side of the ball a lot. His interaction was going to be more with Bones Fossil and Mike Zimmer. And so, either way, I don't even know that that's a reflection of coaching as much as it just is. He's having fun. He's enjoying it.
And by the way, let me say this for Mike. I thought it was too relaxed and too fun. So anyone acting like it was some type of drill sergeant or some type of Jimmy Johnson practice over there, that's not what I heard over 5 years. So that would, to me, be an unfair cheap shot if someone's like, oh, it's just fun again because we were so suppressed over here in terms of the fun we could have with the sport that we love. I thought it was too lax.
Look, humans crave structure, okay? And so that's why it's fun again. It's because structure has returned to the building, Sean Sharif. That's what it is.
All coaches don't have it all, you know, mapped out by second.
Certainly not for the last 5 years. All right, so following a disappointing 7-10 season, the biggest adjustment the Cowboys made was to their coaching staff. This is from John Machota over at The Athletic / New York Times. Led by new head coach Brian Schottenheimer, there have been noticeable changes around the team's headquarters in Frisco, Texas. Music has been blaring throughout practice, which you guys have been to practices before. Mm-hmm. There's always music there.
Always.
It was loud the other day. Like, and we'll be out there at practice again tomorrow. I'm going to be interested to see, like, did the DJ just maybe not recognize how loud that was, or is this just like a new normal? It was booming, and I mean, just like it sounded like a hits playlist going, just everything that's on the radio right now, big in hip hop and you know, top 40 stations and stuff like that. But music has been blaring throughout practice. Several locker assignments have changed, and there's now a ping pong table in the middle of the locker room. You remember the Dolphins took the ping pong table out. What happened to them? They were awful last year. Brian Schottenheimer said, "We just moved it in there because I want our players to want to be here. I love playing ping pong. They love playing ping pong. It's fun to watch these guys compete. It's fun to watch the interaction with the offense and defense and watch the S talking that goes on." Schottenheimer's also incorporated regular dinners with players. Some, like the one he had recently with wide receiver George Pickens, are at the Cowboys Club inside the Star. Others are with small groups at restaurants away from the team facility. Schottenheimer said he always takes care of the bill. It's all part of the plan to, quote, create one of the greatest cultures in professional sports. "We do change the menu up a little bit," Schottenheimer said. "We try to get 4 or 5 or 6 guys together and just go talk about life. Football rarely comes up. We do football all day long. What I want to know is what Javonte Williams named his dog and where does the story come from and all those things. For them to share the stories with their teammates allows them, when they're out on the field and they're having a tough day and it's hot and they're pushing through a padded practice in Oxnard, they're able to truly pull together and work together. I think that's going to help us finish games and finish practices. When you have a tough moment, you have a tough stretch in the season, you work through those problems because they believe in one another, and more importantly, they love one another." And that's been the thing that, like, has stood out more than anything else this entire offseason is, I don't know what it was for Brian Schottenheimer that must have flipped, but, like, throughout his entire career, you hear him talk with the Jets, you hear him talk with the Seahawks, you hear him talk at Georgia, different press conferences he's given over the years. Culture's been a part of it, but it's never necessarily been like, hey, everything's got to be right here. It's been something that's been important to him, but that is like the underlying item. So something I think flipped for him over the course of these last several years that he saw at other jobs or that he saw here in Dallas, where he was like, I need to ratchet this up a little bit.
And I attribute a lot of that to Pete Carroll. You know, we heard Schottenheimer tell us this at the Combine in Indianapolis. Like, going to Seattle was big for me because I think he was honed in on X's and O's so much, right? Being the next young whiz kid that can know all the offenses and all the trends and have the fanciest of playbooks that John Gruden would make fun of for play calls being too long. True story out there, as Bobby detailed. With the Collisions, Low Crossers, New York Jets book. And then he went to Pete, and he saw Pete with the relationships.
It's about, like, the head coach. I mean, that is the trend. The trend around the league obviously went to the schematic genius, McVay, Shanahan, all that crap.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, if you can't relate to players, all these players, part of the genius. Like, Sean McVay is not just an X's and O's guy. Like, he can't be, because you can't get players to buy in. Like, I don't care how good your scheme is, they have to buy into what you're trying to sell too. And even Belichick, there's a method to what he's trying to sell. It's an us against them. It's a, you know, do your job kind of thing. You got to be able to connect with players to have them buy into what you're doing.
Here's the really weird thing about Schottenheimer to me. You look at him, you listen to him, and you go, he can easily connect because he's young-spirited. Brian Schottenheimer has been coaching since 1997 in the National Football League. So a question enters my mind of, does he have to really stay on top of the trends and change, because this guy's been coaching his entire adult life, before his entire adult life, joining up with his pops and those staffs. And you just look at him and instantly, naturally assume, I do, he'll be able to connect with all these young guys. I wonder how much he has to boach it up and be told what the new terms and everything are.
Yeah. I mean, look, 214 just texted and said, culture has never won a game or played a snap. Dallas sucks because of their inability to build a deep roster. Sure. Like but part of it, at the end of the day, you got to have talented players. But I asked a coach this one time, it wasn't a Dallas coach. I had asked a coach one time, I was like, how much do you think like culture actually plays an impact on like being able to connect or whatever else? And they're like, think about it in your own job. They're like, if you ever have been in a toxic work environment or somewhere where you don't like your boss or you and your coworkers don't get along, it doesn't matter how good you are at your job or how, like, it's a drag and everybody's performance goes down. If you don't like each other, if you guys have tension with each other, you're not going to play well when you're out there on the field.
Well, you can play well. Okay. The Legion of Boom and the Seattle Seahawks, we know, had issues.
You can't max yourself out, I'll say.
Yeah. Your talent can overcome a lot. You can just be, you know, so much better than somebody else. But there are moments where I think he can save you and help things out. Look, you got to have talent, you got to have scheme, you got to have chemistry.
Got to have them all.
Right now, I have no doubt that the Dallas Cowboys, and we can fight about the order of them. Yeah, I think we'd all take the talent first. But are you telling me that, you know, the Indiana Pacers are about to make the NBA Finals and they don't have really good chemistry? Now, I don't know for a fact how they all get along with each other, but I know they don't have the most talented team. There's something causing Rick Carlisle to shock the basketball world by getting ready to make the championship round. And I think some of that has to do with the Dallas Mavericks championship team here.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Mavs were incredibly deep and talent. They didn't have, like, they had a lack of holes.
They didn't have super talent.
They were not more talented than that team they beat. That Miami team they beat.
No,
they
were not more talented.
Very
not
few in close. The history but, of the NBA have been.
But they were deeper. They had fewer holes. You know, like that's a big thing. Like you're never putting somebody out there that's a liability.
My point was about chemistry.
Yeah.
Jason Terry, JJ knew his role. Dirk, you're not fighting for shots. You're not arguing. They weren't more talented than the Lakers team they swept. They weren't more talented than the Miami Heat. You can argue, was it a young OKC team they also went through? I mean, they were young. They ended up having more Hall of Famers. But
I mean, think about, like, after they went on the title run, Tyson Chandler made reference to the chemistry thing and the toughness thing. And he said, when I was in New Orleans, he said the book on Dallas was they're soft. You can get in their heads. You can get in between them. You can cause issues with them, because Dallas did. The Mavericks had some issues near the end of that Avery Johnson run with chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, we knew we could screw with them and we could get them off their game and get them bickering and throw off their chemistry. And he's like, that was a big thing for us when we came over. Same thing here that Shoddy's looking at, I think, which is Shoddy's looking at it and saying, if we get guys who give an S about each other Monday through Saturday, then they're going to be that much better on Sunday. It's a margin that you can create.
Yeah, this to me is like adding, you know, seasoning your meal. This is the salt. This is the salt and the pepper.
Yeah.
It's not the meat. It's not the main thing you're going to buy first in the grocery store. We're not trying to tell you culture is going to make that, because I know it's going to come back if they go 7-10 or 6-0. Oh, your culture. What happened to the culture? To me, it's a seasoning. It's a very important seasoning, but it is still just a seasoning.
And we're doing this article from John Michaud over at The Athletic talking about the Cowboys culture and the changes that we've seen here in the first couple weeks. And I had mentioned last week while we were out there at OTAs that not only was the music player, like, you saw this like intensity and this, you know, really competitive spirit that I honestly felt like it. And I know this is, I promise this has nothing to do with McCarthy bitterness, but I do feel like the competitiveness in practice had been de-emphasized a little bit in the McCarthy era. That was something that Garrett was really big on. Garrett liked doing the one-on-ones. McCarthy didn't like doing the one-on-ones. McCarthy didn't like potentially showing up guys in front of everybody. That's something that I think you need a little bit of that. You need that juice, and you need to have a place, though, at first where these guys get along. And so there isn't bitterness. It's just pure competitive, intense. Yeah, like leveling each other up, making each other better. I had talked to Darren Woodson about this once, where they had their starting safeties were Ray Horton and James Washington when they traded for Thomas Everett in 1992. And then Darren Woodson in 1993 was basically put into the starting lineup. They pulled somebody else out. A lot of really talented veterans that were ended up on the bench. And I'd asked him, I was like, how did that not like create bitterness among you guys? Like, how did you guys not have all this infighting? And he's like, because it all started with a foundation of like respect and what we're fighting for. And so, yeah, anything that was there, it just was pure competitiveness, but you were in it for each other. And I think that that's a big thing that clearly they're all highlighting here. CeeDee Lamb was quoted in this. He said, relationships go a long way, building trust within each other and having that open conversation, open dialogue about anything. So when things go on during the season, it's pretty easy. We've already built that bond in the offseason. We have the quote from Kyrie Elam recently, and John shared it here. He said, I feel like the energy here is something I've never been a part of. I love the enthusiasm and energy from the coaching staff. And it's something that Dak has emphasized a lot throughout his career. But even last week when he was talking about it, we had played the clip that he had said, hey, even if I've talked about this a lot, like I don't know how much we've been able to put this in full practice throughout the entire group. And that's something that we're really working on putting through there. The fact that Brian Schottenheimer's mentioning Buddy Johnson, borderline practice squad linebackers football camp during his press conference and telling guys, hey, if y'all could go out there, you could stop by, that'd be great. That does build a real cohesive team environment.
I'll always take it back to this one thing, and I've said it before. I just can't get it out of my head. And again, to me, McCarthy was a player's coach. Make no mistake about it. I think, you know, even when it felt like it was inevitable that Mike was gone, the leaders of the team still spoke up for him. That does mean something. But when McCarthy had no idea with us what DeMarcus Lawrence's nickname was, that really hit me. Now, that is not going to cause a loss. But if you know that your boss is genuinely interested in your life to another level, I think you'll put out a little bit more for them.
It's pretty dramatic there, Nick.
You know what I mean? I don't know how many years that was into
it. It was the first year.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why I don't know how big of a deal it was since his first year.
Yeah.
But if that was year three or late year one even.
Yeah.
Even if it was late year one, that would be an issue.
And look, Dak was over McCarthy's house. So, like, those things did happen. I'm just viewing that as an example. I think Brian Schottenheimer wants to find out I think he's making it more of a priority to start off his tenure here to know all of those things at the very beginning. He said, I want to know the name of Javonte Williams' dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His biggest hurdle, and I think this is all coaches who have to, who get promoted from within, is having the players view you differently. Like when you're an assistant coach,
yep.
Sometimes like assistant coaches take the role of like, he's your head coach, I'm your friend. Like you come to me with a problem, I go to him.
Yeah.
Like that, we've seen.
There's radio guys in this city and in this business who have been producers,
mm-hmm.
and they get elevated to the boss. Well, yeah. Shows have been there, like the Fan in DC, the Junkies, who we used to crosstalk with. The boss there was their producer. So now all of a sudden, you're gonna talk to me and boss me around. You were getting me coffee. You know what I mean? So they have to deal with that change in dynamic.
How bad would it be for, like, imagine tomorrow, like, I become y'all's boss.
There's another wannabe guy here in town who thinks he's actually doing something, and he was like a little runaround for everyone else.
I'm right here.
No, but, not you.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, yeah, if I became your boss, instantly, it'd
Barry
be hard.
Barry Switzer of sports radio.
It'd be hard to take me seriously, telling y'all to do anything.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. Yeah. But
you'd be swinging your arms up and down the hallway. Left and right.
I think the difference. I think.
What'd you say?
I said here's what I think the difference is. I've just tried. I want to say this carefully because I don't want anybody to get mad at me potentially who's hearing this. I think Brian Schottenheimer was in charge. Like I think a lot of players viewed Brian Schottenheimer as the guy last year for them. I think a lot of people viewed like that's who I answer to. And so I think there's already that relationship with a lot of them.
Okay. Well, it didn't result in a great record, so hopefully...
I'm hoping
he didn't have that much influence.
I think that's part of what was leading to fracture, though, is that they felt like, I don't have somebody I feel like is the guy I'm getting, but this... All right, here's the guy. Zach Martin talked about it with us while we were at Super Bowl, where he had said, hey, I think something was clearly broken last year with our culture.
All right, there it is, John Machota with an Inside the C-Word article in the New York Times. Is that everything from it, yeah, Bobby? Is that good? All right, there it is, commercial-free with the Expressway on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys.